Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20. This goes along good, Brother Steve, with the prayer request. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, there's only one way that our prayers get to the throne of God. That's the power, the Holy Ghost that lives in us. Say amen. He has to carry him yonder to the intercessor that's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. Here's the text. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen. We've been talking to you a little bit out of the book of Ephesians about glory in the church. And boy, did I get excited as I studied today. I want to share some things with you that the Lord has shared with me. Pray with me a moment. Our Father, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege to be in your presence, to be with your people. And Lord, I know that the Christian life is a life of burdens, but it's also a life of blessing. Lord, it's good to know that we can bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just help, Lord, our people that need that physical touch. Lord, I pray that you'll help those that need a spiritual touch tonight. God, I pray that you'll just continue to help. Lord, when you went away, you told the disciples, I'll send you another comforter. And Lord, I'm glad he's here. The paraclete, the one called alongside to help, the blessed Holy Spirit of the living God. Help us now tonight in the message. Help us, our Father, to worship you in Jesus' precious name. All of God's young and said, amen. Ephesians chapter 2 tonight, we kind of closed out chapter 1 last week. Ephesians chapter 2 tonight, I want to look at a few verses and really just look at two main thoughts. The Bible said, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also, now notice this, we all, beloved, when we're looking at our past, we all, at one point in our life, were dead in trespasses and sin. I remember my pastor, Brother Wishon, that I was saved under. He said there was a couple of boys shot to death, and he was working in the funeral home. Both of them was laying there on the slab, but one of them had took several bullets to the chest. And said somebody walked in and said, man, he's dead, but he's really dead. No, dead's dead. It don't matter how many bullets. It don't matter how much sinning we did. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And without Christ, we're dead in our trespasses and our sin. I'll say some more about that. He said we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Lust is a terrible word, ain't it? The lust of our flesh. When Jesus went there on the mountain, he was tempted in three areas: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And I tell you, that's what's keeping people from Christ: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The Bible said here, the Word of God said, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I love these two words. I tell you what's the truth. But God. I mean, I was going along pretty good in that way of sin, and somebody interrupted it. It was the Lord. Amen. but God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. You see, God didn't wait on a change to love us. One old preacher said one time, said, we're trying to clean the fish before we catch them. We're wanting somebody to straighten up so they can get saved. That'd be like telling somebody to go in there and wash up so you can take a shower. Amen? That's stupid. Amen? Listen, the Word of God said here, we were dead in sin and he loved us then. The Bible said he commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know about you, but I don't know how he loved me other than to know he is love. I don't know where the mercy come from other than to know, but God has got plenty of it. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. The Bible said, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me say something to you tonight. I think there's a danger with getting too familiar with some of these passages. Listen to me carefully. I believe, beloved, listen, if our heart is right with God, we ought to be able to read John 3:16. And there ought to be something in there just called, oh, God loved me. He loved the world so much. We read these verses. We've heard them all of our life. Most of us have memorized these verses. But listen, don't let that repetition or the memorization of these verses rob you of the meaning every time. The Word of God said, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, Pastor, what would happen to us if we got a hold of that and that got a hold of us? I tell you what we'd do. We'd win the victory over pride. We wouldn't be proud of nothing but him. Say amen. And we give him the glory. Because it's his grace that we're here tonight. It's his grace that we can understand the Word of God tonight. It's his grace we have a desire to pray. It's his grace that we can bear one another's burdens. It's his grace. Unto him be the glory. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God said, don't come in here bragging on what you've done. He said, you remember, it's not what you've done is going to get you to heaven. It's what I've done. Amen. And then he said this, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let me say this. I'll say it as plainly as I know how. I've said it before and I'll say it again if I live long. We don't believe in a salvation by works. But we do believe in a salvation that works. Did you hear what I said? Our salvation is not by works, but we believe in a salvation that changes a person's life and causes that person to want to go to work for the master, amen, and do something for God. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained. He already settled it before he ever saved us, that we should walk in them. Let's back up tonight. I'll give you two thoughts tonight, if I can. And the thoughts I want to give you tonight, the first thing I want you to see is the miracle. And the second thing that I want you to see is the master. I want you to see the miracle in these verses tonight. And then I want you to see the master in these verses tonight. Let's look here, first of all, at the miracle. Beloved, when we're looking at the miracle, I want to say, in God dealing with us, he deals with us personally. You remember that? You remember when he pointed his finger at you? He didn't point his finger that night at Miss Eve and I. He pointed his finger at me. He didn't point his finger that night, beloved, listen, at 100 people. Now, he can do that at the same time. That ain't no problem for God. But it ought to be personal tonight. The Word of God said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. It's something that happens because it's personal. The second thing that I see is the powerful. He deals with us personally and you, but he deals with us powerfully. And hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That word quicken means to give life. And beloved, listen, I believe that God in our spirit, listen, has to quicken that spirit. I'm going to give you some things tonight to think about. Beloved, there are those that they say, well, a dead man, he can't believe. So God really has to quicken him so he can believe. But listen to me carefully tonight. I think you'll understand and glean some things from this. I did from the study. There are many kinds of life. There's vegetable life, animal life, mental life, moral life, spiritual life. And being made alive in one sense, man might be made alive in one sense and yet be dead in another. Let me give you an example that's on my heart. Adam. The Bible said, in the day you eat thereof, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Well, Adam didn't die morally. Adam didn't die, listen to me carefully, physically that day. Am I right? He lived to be over 900 years old. Amen. And he had children and raised a family. And listen, but what he did, he died spiritually. There was that part of him, beloved, that was separated now from God. And let me tell you this, beloved, it was God who took the initiative. They put that back together. It was God that made the coats of skins. The blood had to be shed, amen, so that they could be clothed and cover up their nakedness, amen, so they could fellowship with the Father once again. And so, beloved, as we study tonight, think about this. The most vital part of a man's personality, the spirit, is dead to the most important one in life, God. That's what the Bible's talking about right here. You hath he quickened. There was a part of us that was separated from God and dead to God. But God let that part come alive so that, beloved, we could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we could understand that we were a sinner. So we could understand that he was the Savior. So that we could understand there's a heaven to gain. And understand there's a hell to shun. And understand our need of him. I don't know about you tonight, but when I read these verses tonight, I see a miracle. Beloved, listen. The songwriter, Brother Junior, I don't remember all the words, but I remember this line in the song. The greatest of all miracles is when Jesus saved me. I'll tell you, every child of God, Brother Gary, ought to feel like that in their heart. The greatest of all miracles is when the Father put his finger down in my heart and fingered around in my heart and woke me up to my sin and woke me up to his salvation, that I could trust him to be my Savior. I believe, beloved, tonight, it's not in a moral sense or a mental sense, but it's in a spiritual sense. Spurgeon said, poor humanity is dead. And so the Word of God again and again most positively describes it. This touches on something that's controversial. Some people say, well, if a man's dead, then that man can't believe. Let me give you a couple things tonight just to think about. It talked about being exactly like a dead man, so to speak. But we actually are in error if we think like that. Because to be dead in trespasses and sin says everything about it. We err if we think that says everything about a man's lost condition. And it is error to believe that the Bible uses many different pictures to describe the state of an unsaved man. Let me give you what I'm talking about tonight. It can help us to understand that God is not talking about completely, but spiritually separated, spiritually dead. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible describes us as blind. Think about that for just a moment. The Bible describes the sinner as blind. I believe it's important to understand that. The Bible talks about being a slave to sin. I believe that there are ways that the unregenerate man is dead, but in other ways, he is not.
And we ought to give that that appeal to all men that they might believe. We don't need to look for evidence of regeneration. That's what I was talking about a while ago. Beloved, in order to tell them, we got to tell them. Jesus said he so loved the world. Give me this tonight. The Bible describes us in our sin as blind. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. If you search that out, it's talking about a slave. Beloved, we were slaves to sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. We were a lover of darkness. This is one of the verses that Sawyer memorized. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The Bible describes us as sick. Jesus said, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that be whole have no need of physician, but they that are sick. And I believe he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. And then the Bible talks about in Luke 15, three different things. There was the lost sheep, and the lost silver, and the lost son. That's the way that God is describing. He doesn't only describe us as dead in trespasses and sin. He's trying to get us to see, beloved, that there's a part of us that unless God quickens that part of us, amen, we cannot trust Christ as our Savior. We would never know how to trust Christ. That's why many, beloved, are making a mistake when they leave out the Spirit of God in conversion. We're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And it takes the Spirit of God to make the Scriptures real in the sinner's heart, and to make Calvary real in the sinner's heart, and to make my friend so real that he's willing to swallow his pride and admit, I'm all wrong, in order that he might trust the one that's all right, that's perfect, that's holy tonight. The Bible talked about we're aliens in Ephesians 2. We'll get to that later in the study. Strangers, foreigners, we're children of wrath in Ephesians 2:3. We just read a little while ago. We're under the power of darkness. The Bible said in Colossians 1:13, and who delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Let me say this to you tonight. Beloved, that's a miracle. That is a miracle. When God pulls somebody out of darkness, and when God takes somebody out of the muck and out of the mire and places them upon that rock, puts a new song in their heart, even praise unto our God, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. We don't want to go where we used to go. We don't want to do what we used to do. We don't want to talk like we used to talk. God changes us from the inside out. The mistake, I believe, that's been made many, many times is trying to change people from the outside in. Honey, if that change don't take place on the inside, anything else is Phariseeism, amen? And it will not work, amen? It'll only make a man more eat up with his pride. Listen, we need to see here in the miracle, we talked about the person. It's personal. It's powerful. But I want you to know this. It deals with our past. Look in verse number 2. The Bible said, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. You say, now, Pastor, Paul didn't have any trouble with his past. No, Paul knew God forgave him for his past. But you read when Paul preaches. You know what he'll do? He'll take you back to before the road to Damascus. He'll take you back and tell you what he was doing. He'll take you back and tell you how proud he was of his credentials. And he'll take you back and say, now listen, you pile all that up and I count it but dung that I might win Christ. Amen. He'll take you back. Listen, I believe it's wrong, beloved, to live in your past, but I believe it's just as wrong to forget your past. You should not, beloved, listen, get over the miracle of where the God brought you from and where you are today and where God's going to take you when you leave this world. That's a miracle. The miracle. It deals with our past. He said, according to the course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Beloved, you and I tonight, listen to me carefully right here. Don't get a critical spirit. When you see somebody that's covered up in tattoos, you see somebody that don't know how to comb their hair, don't know how to bathe, don't you get a critical spirit. You look at them and realize it's a grace of God, it's not you. You see a man staggering on the street corner, don't you get a... I'm not telling you, beloved, to condone sin, but I'm telling you, beloved, you ought to know it's a miracle that it's not you on that street corner doing the same thing or worse, amen, that God got a hold of you, amen. And listen, we trusted one that changed our life, that turned us around, amen. We're talking about our past sin here, among whom all we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. One of the things that my son-in-law shared with the youth tonight was this. He said all those years, he had made a profession when he was 6 years old, but he said there was one thing that was common in all those years. He said there was no victory. He said there was no peace. He told things tonight I didn't even know, even after we met, even after he and Charity were married. And beloved, let me say something tonight. There's only one place you're going to find peace, and that's at Calvary. There's only one place it's going to be at the end of your pride. That's where you're going to make peace with God, amen. And I believe that from the bottom of my heart. So he talks about our past sin, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath. I'm going to give you some verses tonight, and we'll move on to the last thing in the message, the Master. When we're talking about our past sins, you say, Pastor, you excited tonight? You want to give God the glory because of the miracle? Yes, I do. Unto Him be glory in the church. Amen. I visited with a young lady, I guess it was Tuesday evening, and she's been to this church at some point in time. And I'm not going to tell you everything that she told us, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe it's important, beloved, to have compassion. Amen. I believe it's important. Listen to me. It's one thing if somebody's called a brother and they're behaving in a certain way. You got to deal with that. But beloved, when people come in here off the street, let me say this. They're just like we were. They don't know no better. They're living under the prince and the power of the air. Say amen. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, there ought to be some compassion. There ought to be somebody trying to love them to Jesus. There ought to be somebody, beloved, wanting them to get their life straightened out and get right with God. Amen. The Bible said about my past sin, about your past sin. Listen to the miracle. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That's what God is saying right there, amen. That's even talking about the children of God right there. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness. He knows our uprisings. He knows our down cities. He knows all about us. And let me give you something. He still loves us. That ought to blow our minds tonight, amen. He knows what we think. He knows what we do. He knows the very desires of our heart. He knows our motives. He said, let me tell you about your sin. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far I've removed your transgressions from you. That ought to make somebody want to shout. Isaiah said, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered me from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back. I'm going to tell you something right now. I found out a long time ago, when somebody's digging in my sin, it ain't my father. It's that old slew-foot devil. Say amen. My father forgot it. My father put it behind his back. My father buried it in the depths of the sea. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's taken it away. And I thank God. He said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sin. You can mark that down tonight, amen. I'm talking about, beloved, don't forget where God brought you from. But when you get that old guilt coming on, amen, and somebody's trying to dig and say, look, you really think you ought to be preaching? You look how you lived. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, I've been forgiven for that mess. That mess is under the blood, amen. And by the way, you can't find a preacher if they've not been forgiven for that mess. Say amen. Oh, you say, well, they didn't do the things as bad as you do. You don't understand the scripture. If a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. That's what the Word of God said. And beloved, we're guilty before God, but He's a God that will help us overcome. Who is a God like unto thee? Micah 7:18, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Ain't that good? God delights in mercy, amen. Nobody has to wring his arm or twist his arm, amen. He delights to show mercy to people that will come to him in faith, amen. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sin into the depths of the sea. I say, hallelujah. What a Savior, amen. Hebrews 9:26 said this, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I tried to teach the young'uns the other day how that in the Old Testament, the blood sacrifice put off the sin from year to year. Jesus didn't come to put it off. He come to put it away. Amen. Amen. Thank God he did. You remember David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, David's sin caught up with him. The sin with Uriah, the sin with Bathsheba, the sin of murder, getting Uriah murdered there on the battlefield. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Listen to what God said. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. We know there was a consequence. As a matter of fact, it's in the very next verse. The baby's going to die. Amen. There's consequences of sin. But I believe with all of my heart, if you'll read Psalm 51, I believe David was relieved. I believe David knew, Brother Steve, he deserved to die for what he had done. But what did God do? God had mercy. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Every one of us deserved to die, but you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. God gave us mercy. Amen. Watch this tonight. Not only do we see the miracle, but I want to give you this tonight in closing. I want you to see the Master. This is where he breaks in verse number 4. Here we are. We're looking at our past. And then the Bible said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. We see his motive here in time. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? He loved us. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. God not only has a motive in time for saving us, he loves us, and he wants to show mercy to us. But I want you to look at his motive in eternity. God also has a motive in eternity. The Bible said here in verse number 7, that in the ages to come, I'm going to tell you something right now tonight. Listen to me carefully. If I understand what this verse of Scripture is saying, every one of God's youngins are trophies of his grace. The Bible said in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Listen, he's given us mercy, and he's had mercy on us here in this place we call time. But I'm going to tell you something. There's another place that had to do with God's motive, and that's that time called eternity. Amen. God, he said he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. And then he shows us the Master. We see his motive, but then he shows us his method. Look in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Let me tell you something that everybody that's ever been saved has in common. They all came in contact with the grace of God. It was God that quickened them. It was God that showed mercy on them. It was God that loved them. And it was God that saved them. Amen. And if God didn't do it, it didn't get done. Amen. And we see his method, how that God does it. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe it was one of the places in John where they asked Jesus, What must we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Right there it is, amen, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. So we see God's motive, we see His method. But then I want you to see this. You probably didn't think about it like this, but I think we should. I think it'll help us. I think it'll help us to overcome anything in our life that's displeasing to the Lord, that's not bringing Him glory. The Bible said, unto Him be glory in the church. I want you to notice His masterpiece. You know, I know that there are people that build instruments. We knocked on a door the other night, and the man had a D-28 Martin that was a real nice guitar, a real nice instrument. And a lot of times, Brother Jason, there's different things, fiddles, violins, there's different instruments. There's different things in the world. There's paintings, there's art that literally are masterpieces. I'm not going to say that because you think I'm bragging on myself. I'm not going to say that. But look at verse number 10. I want you to look at a masterpiece. This is what you need to be looking at in the mirror. How many of y'all ever get down? Amen. Ever get down? You ever get discouraged? You ought to look in the mirror. I'm talking about a miracle and a master. I'm talking about bringing Him glory in the church. We ought to look in the mirror. Sister Carol, we might even say something like this, to be honest. I ain't much, but I'm my Father's masterpiece. It's my Father that's done this work in my life. It's my Father that plucked me from the firebrands. Amen. It's my Father that changed my life. It's my Father that's going to take me to glory when I leave this world. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Most people that come in my home, I tell them that years ago I built the entertainment center that's in my home. It's got some dental work around the top of it. And Brother John, you know what dental work is. I made it. I made it out of oak. And it took time. And Brother Houston, it took patience. I had to set the saw up. I had a, what do you call that saw that slides, Brother John? It's a radial arm saw. Thank you, Brother Steve. I had a radial arm saw. I put a stop on it so that when I put the wood there, it would only come so far. And then when I slid it down, I'd take that notch and put it in another notch and do it again and do it again. The worst part of the whole thing was deburring it all because I was doing it with a, some say dado blade, a blade that wobbles and was cutting the notch about that far apart. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? Can I tell you something? I wanted that to look good when I got done with it. And I was willing to exercise patience. I was willing to work on it. And I was willing to take the time. And you know what I think about Him? He's willing to have patience with me. He's willing. Brother Jason, I had to take sandpaper, and each one of them grooves because there was burrs. Is anybody home tonight? They ain't rough spots where you live. You know what? He's just going to keep working on us. Say amen. Till one day we're going to step off in His presence, brother, the finished product. I hope God don't spray me with lacquer, but anyway, I'm just kidding. One day we'll be perfect. We'll be just like His Son. And if that don't make you want to give God glory in the church, I don't know what will. There's a miracle that's taken place. And there's a master that's seeing to it. And when we step off on the other side, that masterpiece will be completed. I have a verse of scripture for that and I'm finished. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Does it say day of Jesus Christ or till the day of Christ? Anybody know for sure? Anyway, it came out Jesus Christ. I hope that's right. It's the same person. Amen. Let me say this to you tonight. Don't get discouraged. He ain't done with you yet. If you're in the family, if you're in the faith, it's because he quickened you. And because you didn't turn your back on that revelation, but you trusted him. You accepted him as your Savior. That's what we need to be praying for, those that are still blind, those that are still a slave to sin, that God will help them, amen, to see the light. I'm just glad you come tonight.